to crafty, deceitful schemes. Rather, let us speak the truth in love and grow to the full maturity of Christ the head. Through Christ, the whole body grows. With the proper functioning of each member firmly joined together by each supporting ligament, the body builds itself up in love. May we take to heart this message from our ancient scriptures today. So today, on my 64th birthday, and as part of the theme we've kind of been exploring through this fall season, the theme of spiritual progress, I decided today that I wanted to share with you a little of my spiritual journey with the hope that maybe you'd find yourself somewhere reflected in this story or learn something from what I have learned or perhaps even the mistakes I've made along the way. I believe that we're all on a spiritual journey, but that most people will not know or be deliberate about that journey. And that, for me, is one of the great tragedies of our life. I believe that the spiritual journey is the most fulfilling journey that we can ever undertake as human beings. And I think in today's culture, we're not encouraged enough to grow spiritually, and people then don't know how. So we remain, as the writer of Ephesians implies, very childish in our spiritual nature. And this is dangerous, the writer says, because it leaves us open to be tossed about by everything that humans can possibly dream up, doctrines that do not serve us well, and ideas and systems that strive to keep us immature and susceptible to whims of dominant systems that lead us really down unhealthy paths. Most notable in today's world, those systems are capitalism, toxic politics, unhealthy religious systems that, with competing ideologies that are so dominant in media today, we're just blown here and there unless we're grounded in something. When we don't grow spiritually, we're always looking for that something outside of ourselves to give us what we truly desire, that sense of peace and joy, of acceptance and belonging and meaning, which we can't ever find outside of ourselves. Yet we're looking out there, and we can be tossed about until we're grounded spiritually. So today I'm just going to share a very short version of a very long wrestle with faith and religion and spirituality, and a journey that I know and hope will continue for the rest of my life. You start where you usually do in your life. I was born in Toronto and baptized into the United Church. My mother had grown up Baptist and was a gifted musician who had played on the radio and in churches and sang a lot when she was young. But she had also experienced significant trauma and abuse as a young person and suffered from mental illness later on in life. My father had been born in rural Ontario and was raised in the United Church and was a faithful attender of church until he died, though he too had his own struggles and had a very volatile temper. When I was 5, my family moved to southeastern Ontario, close to where my dad had been born and raised, and we there attended church faithfully. We kind of had to because we were right across the church from the manse, or right across from the church and the manse. Yeah, they knew where we were. But in fact, you know, when you're in a small village, and we lived in a very small village of less than a few hundred people, the minister had to really behave, right? When they're in a small village, and they had to put on their best behavior. So that meant that any minister who wanted to have a beer just came over to my dad's and got him to buy it for them. I said I wasn't going to say that here because we're recording. But we were always friendly with the ministers and families, and they would kind of look out for us. The month that I turned six, which was November, of course, 1967, my mother decided that it was too hard to live in this world anymore and chose to end her life. I had just started grade one. And I remember my dad, this is the first memory I have, my dad coming and picking me up at school and talking to my teacher, Mrs. Clement. I still remember who she is. And we went to my grandparents' farm where they lived, was just about 15 minutes north of where we lived at the time and from my school, so I could stay in the same school area. And we lived there with my grandparents. I never went back to that place where my mom had been. And we lived with my grandparents for about 6 years until my dad remarried. I remember several significant things, though, about living with my grandparents that grounded me very clearly in my spiritual journey. My dad was a milk tester, which meant that he got up and went to the farms when they were testing milk in the morning and at night, so he was never around, really. And then he worked in the shop that he had purchased most of the days. He was going through his own grief. Every morning, though, my grandparents, when we got up, gathered us in a little corner and read a devotional and prayed. And that grounded me and modeled for me the need to have a regular daily spiritual practice that would sustain me for many years and still does to today. Secondly, my grandparents' farmhouse, which was the homestead of my grandfather's grandparents, a century farmhouse, was quite small, although it had had additions put on it. And there were three little bedrooms and three little bedrooms upstairs. They'd only put in bathrooms just sort of before we moved back there, and three rooms on the bottom, one of which was not used. I'll explain that in a minute. And so it forced my dad and my brother and I really to sleep in one room for those years. And I remember distinctly, this is another memory I have as a young person, my dad kneeled to pray beside the bed every single night. He got down on his knees beside the bed to pray. The fact that he literally kneeled every night still sticks with me today. And though I don't generally kneel myself, I have found myself on my knees literally many times in my life when things were particularly hard and I just needed to do something physical to anchor my pain, which is what my dad was doing after my mother died. So that was the second thing. My grandparents' devotion and prayer, my dad kneeling on the floor to pray every night. During this time, we also faithfully attended church every week, where my brother and I attended Sunday school and had some great Sunday school teachers. We had also taken piano lessons and were quite musical, as was my mom. We would sing for variety shows and at church and things like that, and I sang in the choir. My brother was far more talented than I was on the piano, so he would often play and I would sing. And we were loved and cared for by that faith community. That's why I think I have a faith today, is because as a child, people cared for me and raised me up in that way. I still keep in touch with some of those people and keep tabs on what's going on. Many of them have passed on now, but I still, you know, hear about what's going on in that community. The other thing I remember quite distinctly. Like I said, there were three bedrooms upstairs. One bedroom was kept as a guest bedroom because my cousins and aunts and uncles were there quite often, and so that was kept as a guest bedroom. And downstairs there's a kitchen and a middle room, which is a living room, which we use the most. And on the end, on the far end downstairs, was a parlor. We had a parlor, which we didn't use very often. It was only for special occasions. Even though we were in a small house, the parlor was set aside for special occasions. But my grandmother had a little organ in there, and quite regularly, my brother and I would put together a worship service and have everybody come to the parlor so we could offer worship. My brother played for the hymns, and I did all the preaching. That might have been, should have known maybe where I'd end up someday. The faith tradition that I was raised in, well, United Church, was theologically traditional, as most of them were in those days in the 60s and early 70s. We talked about God the Father, Jesus the Savior, the Holy Spirit. We learned all the good old hymns, although most people didn't like the new red hymnal, which had come out around that time. And we believed that prayer was vital. I was taught to believe in heaven and hell and that we would be judged for our sin upon death. I believed that the Bible was the literal word of God and that if we were bad, God would punish us. Anybody else raised in or know that kind of tradition? Yeah. It kept us somewhat in line for fear that we'd go too far. We didn't know what that was and our sin would condemn us to an eternal hell sort of thing. So that's how religion keeps people in line. That was the family or village faith that I received, and I had no reason to doubt it. And whether it made any sense or not, it's what I was taught to believe by the authorities in my life, my parents, grandparents, ministers, and teachers. And I had no reason not to believe them. They were the authorities in my life. They believed it too. It was what was passed down to them. Regardless of the circumstances of why I ended up where I did, I consider myself very fortunate to have been raised in a religious household and loved by grandparents who set a good example for me. My dad did his best, but he worked hard in those days and he wasn't home a lot. And I also had very good aunts and uncles and cousins who were around often. And we were loved. I know I'm more fortunate than some. I also know that if children aren't exposed to religion, and I want to say hopefully good religion because bad religion is not helpful, or encouraged and nurtured spiritually, most are unlikely to return to a faith tradition or spiritual practices to find any kind of fulfillment or purpose because they don't know it's available. I did. I had that available to me. Not that I always turned to faith, to sustain me, because I didn't. The week before I turned 12, my father remarried someone who had a difficult life, and she turned out to be a very angry and bitter person. She had three sons who were older than me, so they didn't live with us by the time my dad had remarried, and there were a lot of addiction issues in the family. I was extremely afraid of her, as was my brother, and I admit that I hated her, as I believe she likely hated me, and we didn't speak much. We really just came with my dad. That was the reason she tolerated us, but we were never accepted. And I was also often quite afraid of my dad because his temper would erupt at any time. So those were really dark days for me just as I was going into teenage years. I was deeply unhappy until I left home when I was 17, which is the earliest I could get out. And there were bright spots in those days as well. We continued, my dad and my brother and I continued to attend church. It was a different church, but one with which we were familiar. We went to Sunday school, then joined the youth group. I was confirmed in this church, which I still remember to this day. We sang in a local youth choir that toured a bit, and that was fun. We got to be in the Terry Fox movie, which was fun because we just happened to be there that day. I played baseball, which was a big lifeline for me. And we still spent quite a bit of time with our grandparents and extended family, so that was fortunate. And I still had no reason to change my beliefs. I was deeply attached to a loving God, although I began to wonder why God didn't see what was going on in our lives and change it. Why I could pray so hard, and I prayed hard, why God didn't do anything about what was going on. My stepmother was cruel, and most of the time we never spoke. We lived in constant fear, my brother and I, so I prayed a lot. Once in a while, I prayed that she'd die. I don't think anybody's ever done that. I know I'm a bad person, but you know, we pray for these things to get people out of our lives, not necessarily that we want it to happen, but those prayers probably are what got me through at that time. That and believing at the time that if I chose to do what my mother had, I'd be punished for it. I now believe differently, but that's what I believed at the time. When I left home at 17, which is typical of many people who fly the coop, I also left the church for a time. I went to college for a year. I was so emotionally immature that I couldn't handle it, and I quit. And I went and lived in a tiny apartment in a small town, and I did what a lot of young people do. I partied with, sort of. That phase didn't last for long. Eventually, I went to back to college in another city where I tried one program, left that and transferred to another program. And finally, I graduated from college and I moved to Calgary immediately following my graduation in my mid-20s. I often say to people, I came to Calgary for the adventure. I was only going to stay for a couple of years. But truly, I left to get out of a bad situation. A bad family situation. Even though I didn't live with my parents, I lived very close by at that time, and it was still very difficult. As I say now, though, I probably left to get away from myself. And as we all know, we can't get away from ourselves. Throughout my life, I have suffered with bouts of depression. I have self-medicated with food, gone to counseling on and off, and been on medication at times. And yet, I still always believe that God was there somehow. I started working when I got here at a group home in Calgary and lived with a couple of friends from secondary school, but I was lonely. And I wanted community. So when I sat down and thought about it at night, I realized that the community I wanted was the church. So I looked up the church that was closest to me that I could walk to and started going to that church at that time, and I wanted to find people with similar values. And I'd always gone to church. I just stepped away for a few years. There I met the minister the first day and the choir director and joined the choir right away. That was important to me. And I say to anybody who comes to church, it's not just about sitting here on Sundays. It's about getting involved in something. It's the only way you get to know people is if you join people and get to know them. Sundays, you can walk in and walk out and not know anybody. It was important to me not only to go to the church, but get involved in something. And that something just happened to be the choir for me. But there's lots going on in churches, and there was lots going on there. And that's where I found my community. And I'm making friends that I still have to this day. My spiritual journey, which is part of all of us from birth, took wings in that time, and I fell back in love with Jesus, the Bible, and God's people. And though it was still a pretty traditional theology, and that was more exclusive than inclusive at that time, I still had found my people. It was that theology of if you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you would be guaranteed a place in heaven, be freed from your sins, though you were never completely sure of that one. Knowing that we're sinful human beings, or that's what we're taught, keeps us on our toes and striving to be the right kind of Christian. I'll tell you about that in a minute. In that time that I was at that church, I experienced there a call to ministry and started working in the church in my early 30s, and I've been working in the church ever since then. Though I will say that people saw something in me that I really didn't maybe know in myself at the time, and I was very spiritually immature. I will say that in my early 30s. It was there, though, as well, that I started to question my faith tradition. Dorothy Zula, a German theologian that I studied in theological school, said that our faith is not our own until we question everything about it. We can be given a village faith, which is passed down to us, and we always trust authorities when we're young. But at a certain point in our life, we need to question everything about our faith and choose for ourselves what we believe and what we don't. everything comes into question until we start building it up again, choosing what makes sense for us, what feels right and true. This, by the way, would apply to all our belief systems, whether it's religious or political or whatever. At a certain point in our lives, if we're going to grow up, we stop believing what was given to us and start recognizing that we can choose. I started seeing a spiritual director who has been with me, or I've been with her over 25 years now. I have read a lot, studied religion, and my faith evolved as I questioned everything I believed. And I can tell you now that I could go back, I would never actually go back and agree with the things that I knew or read 20 years ago or even 10 years ago. I am not the same person as I was then. And if my beliefs were the same, I would know that I am not growing. And I know that 10 years from now, they will be different as well, because I continue to grow and question. I say doubt has been the greatest gift to me in my faith journey. The exclusivity of Christianity never made any sense to me. If God made everybody, God must love everybody. How could God ever send someone to eternal torment for being flawed and human, just as we were created? Excluding anyone makes no sense. The concept of a hell has always bothered me, until I realized that both heaven and hell were states of being here on earth, that we experience both here on earth. In fact, the only paper I kept from my theological days was a study on hell, because it bothered me so much. And the same is for other religions. Why would my religion be exclusively right? If all religions believe they're right and everyone else is wrong, we have a problem. And yep, we now have a big problem because of the exclusivity of religion. Same with an exclusive savior or an errant scriptures or a male God or rejecting certain people groups or prayer as a way to get God to do things or heaven as only for certain people or an all-powerful God who is good but does nothing to make things better. I have come to new understandings of these concepts as I have grounded myself and I have seen my faith grow and my heart expand. So where do I sit now? I'm still on the journey. I always will be. For me, God is not a being that we've created in our own image, but the ground of our being, or consciousness, or life, spirit, love. All things find their being in God and one day return to God. We are simply life or spirit itself having this short material stint in a physical world. We're not around very long, so we need to make the best of the experience we're having right now. I am more content. I'm happy to say that my faith has grounded me. I don't go through those bouts of depression anymore. I'm more settled in my beliefs, even though I know there's still a lot of journey ahead. And I'm so grateful for the people in my life who have journeyed with me and supported me and nurtured me, including this community of faith. What I hope is that I have become less prone to being blown about by the winds of human beliefs and more grounded in God. I think that's what we all want, actually. So thank you for your patience. You've been on the journey with me. I have changed over the years. I've been here almost 19 years now. My hope is that you too will examine your own faith journey and continue to grow in your spiritual lives. May God go with you. I'm going to invite you now, before we move into communion, to pass the peace. And I explain this every